Good morning, everyone, and welcome. Welcome to those sitting in the pews, particularly if it's your first visit to the church. And welcome to those joining us from our web camera and to those who may listen in at a later time. We begin with our opening words. We gather this morning in the spirit of gratitude. We are grateful for family, for friendship and community, for the gift of summer, for the beauty of the earth and sky, for love given and received. Let us make our gratitude for these blessings manifest in our words and deeds. Let us say a heartfelt thank you for life. We light our chalice with the words, "This flame glows as light glows in the darkness. The flame dances as growing things dance upon the earth. The flame flickers as life flickers when threatened. The flame is warm, just as the companionship and love of other things is warm." We have our first hymn this morning, and it's hymn number 35. Unto thy temple, Lord, we come. Title is a little bit different, but we know the tune. Hymn number 35. Let us pray. Let us celebrate life right now. Let us bask in the sunlight, swim in cold waters. Let us lie on the grass and look at the sky. Let us close our eyes and travel in the sounds of nature. Let us smell the joyous perfume of flowers. Let us sit beneath the branches of an ancient tree. Let us meditate on the beauty of a single flower in bloom. Let us share in the laughter of children. Feel the love of those who really care about us. Let us enjoy the knowledge that we have played a part in enabling others to flourish. Let us give thanks for the astonishing, unlikely privilege of being fully alive in this place and in this moment. Let us celebrate God's evolving creation. And as we celebrate, let us look for ways to preserve and nourish the gifts in nature and the gifts that are ours. Amen. I will now read an alternative prayer of Jesus. Indwelling God, infused throughout all existence, we honor you with many names. Your realm is within the human heart. We accept life for all that it can be on earth and throughout all creation. May we continue to draw sustenance from the earth, and may we receive forgiveness equal to our own. May we move from separation towards union, to live in grace with love in our hearts forever and ever. Amen. Our reader is Elaine this morning. She is representing Dennis.
Morning, everybody. Mrs. Dennis Conway, call me Dennis for short, but also a person in my own right. So I think that when you're asked to read, I don't know about the rest of you, there's a little part of that goes, challenge accepted. I'm going to go on a mission to find something. And then you go into a rabbit hole and then you kind of overthink everything. So that happened this week because Dennis can't read today. So I went looking for something and I started to overthink everything. Gratitude, what do you write about, what do you, etc. And then somebody out of the blue sent me this poem. So I'm grateful for the concept of serendipity and also because it is short, brevity. So it's a small poem by a guy called William Martin, and it's called Do Not Ask Your Children to Strive. Do not ask your children to strive for extraordinary lives. Such striving may seem admirable, but it is the way of foolishness. Help them instead to find the wonder and the marvel of an ordinary life. Show them the joy of tasting tomatoes, apples, and pears. Show them how to cry when pets and people die. Show them the infinite pleasure in the touch of a hand. And make the ordinary come alive for them. The extraordinary will take care of itself.
And of course, we always have to have the children's story. And this is a story about the wonders of the world. We've all heard of the seven wonders of the ancient world. I don't think we all know what they were exactly. But here they are for those who don't know. The Great Pyramids of Giza. The Hanging Gardens of Babylon. The Temple of Artemis at Ephesus. The Statue of Zeus at Olympia. The Colosseum of Halicarnassus. The Colossus of Rhodes, and the Lighthouse at Alexandria. So they're the seven wonders of the ancient world. And this is set in a schoolroom, and the children are being told what these seven wonders are. And as most of them are gone now, the teacher was saying, what new wonders of the world can you think of? Can we make a list of the new seven wonders of the world? And she asked the children to write down their ideas, and then they compared notes afterwards. And there was a good deal of consensus that this sort of came up. But one child, of course, was different. But here's what the consensus was. The pyramids of Egypt, of course. The Grand Canyon of Arizona. St. Peter's Basilica in Rome. Niagara Falls, the Taj Mahal in India, the Empire State Building, and the Northern Lights. Not a bad list, sure it isn't. But one child said, well, she had a totally different list. There was none of those things on it. And this was this child's list. She said, that I can see, that I can hear, that I can touch, that I can taste, that I can smell, that I can laugh, and that I love people and they love me. Wonders of the world. Our second hymn this morning, it's hymn number 21, and it's called For the Beauty of the Earth, For the Splendor of the Sky. Hymn number 21. The reading I have is a piece called Gratitude, and it's from a book, Heart to Heart, by Alicia Hawkins and Christina Robinson. And this piece is called Gratitude. It has been said that religion is primarily an affair of gratitude. You may always have thought that religion is primarily an affair of believing. And if you are not sure how a person goes about believing, you may have thought that you were not a religious person. Gratitude, on the other hand, is something that all of us can practice, and that makes all of us religious. Whatever one's beliefs about faith, grace, gratitude is basic. Like hope, trust, and love, gratitude is both a feeling and a spiritual practice. Though we have little control over our immediate feelings, we can decide to cultivate the ground in which those feelings thrive. We are taught as soon as we can speak to say thank you when helped or given something. Words of thanks signal acknowledgement of another's part in benefiting our lives. Thank you adds a human connection. It says, I noticed you were there and I am glad. Our thank you reminds us that we are dependent on those around us. The words acknowledge the web of relationships in which we live. To neglect to say thank you is not only rude, it's out of touch with reality. An implicit claim of interdependence and privilege. The practice of saying thank you is good for our souls and a reality check on our tendency to think that we don't need other people. It is not only important in our relationships with other people, it is important in our relationship with God, the universe, and our life. You don't have to believe that there is a divine someone out there collecting praise to experience gratitude. The important thing is to notice your gratitude and express it, if only to yourself. To say thank you to the universe. You might say thank you, God, if that works for you. We notice our full heart when a grandchild rushes into your arms, when we are struck by the beauty of a sunset, when we experience one of those wonderful moments when we connect deeply with someone or something. There may be nobody in particular to thank, but we can practice gratitude all the time. What of when things are awful? Sometimes we are suffering too much to feel honestly grateful. These are days, weeks, months when we are overwhelmed by problems or pain, tragedy or disappointment. It is at this time that the practice of thankfulness is more worthwhile and healing. For example, in the midst of grieving a loved one, we can be grateful for the care of friends, for the flowers that are still blooming, for the kindness of strangers. We can express our gratitude for the gift of having known and loved the deceased person. Our busyness is the greatest impediment to remembering to express gratitude. We are simply too busy to notice all the wonderful things and people and relationships around us. We neglect to notice our gratitude. It is important to build gratitude into our daily routine. The poet W.H. Auden wrote that we should practice gratitude as regularly as a musician practices scales. The practice of gratitude will sustain us in all of life's events. Now we have a prayer which will be followed by a time of silence for personal reflection. Let us pray. We turn aside from an unquiet world, seeking rest for our spirit and light for our minds. We bring our work to be sanctified, our hopes to be renewed, our better selves to be quickened. There are quiet moments when the tumult and the noise of life are hushed, and when the language of our souls comes unmistakably to us. There are moments of inspiration when we catch glimpses of the loveliness that life might be. There are times when we are touched to wonder and awe and aspiration. Help us to realize that all such experiences are the witness of your presence, the moving of the sacred within our hearts and lives. Help us to walk day by day in the light and by the power of these hours of special insight. When we are tempted to lower our standards and to surrender to the second best or even the worst, may some remembrance of these holier hours come upon us and renew our love, goodness, faithfulness, and our sense of gratitude. Amen. This morning's address is entitled Gratitude. During the past week, I found it particularly difficult to listen to news bulletins. The war in Ukraine continues. It's becoming increasingly difficult to provide any sort of housing for refugees. The housing list is growing. Prices are increasing. And that, of course, always affects the most vulnerable people in our society. Interest rates are on the rise. Again, homeowners will be affected. Famine is stalking the Horn of Africa. And at the same time, there are silos of grain locked in a war-torn Ukraine. This week, we saw our nearest neighbours experiencing the devastating effects of climate chaos. In the United Kingdom, who has sort of the same weather as us, we saw train tracks buckle in the heat, roads melt, as did runways. Homes burst into flames. The London Fire Brigade has its busiest period since the blitz of World War II. And those fires in the blitz took thousands and hundreds of airplanes to come and drop thousands of bombs to cause those fires. This is just happening by itself. The continent is literally burning with forest fires destroying woodland in Spain, Portugal, Italy, France, and Greece. And we know that those fires will destroy the habitat of wild animals. Meantime, there is the threat that this winter Russia will cut off gas supplies to Europe. So the politicians are engaged in planning for the possibility of fuel shortages this winter. So the EU members are chatting about the need to revert to reopening coal mines. Even though scientists have warned us that the window to take action to mitigate climate change is closing, the speed of these changes have taken us all by surprise. And on Thursday, it was announced that Ireland's emissions last year rose by 5%. That's what we're doing to mitigate it. So when I contemplated this week's service called Gratitude, I have to say my heart sank a bit. In the face of these events, reasons to be grateful appeared thin on the ground. And then, of course, I thought, it's precisely in these circumstances that we need to find a path so that we can recover gratitude and a sense of positivity. External events are out of my control. The most I can control is my reaction. The poet W.H. Auden wrote that on the dull days of life, we must practice the scales of rejoicing. As a musician practices scales every day so that when the musician needs to play, they can move freely. So in these difficult days, we must practice scales of gratitude. If gratitude is our practice when life is good, the habit of gratitude will stand us in good stead in times of difficulty. But if we're not practiced in gratitude, it's time we did make a start. The 14th century theologian Meister Eckhart wrote, "If the only prayer we ever say is thank you, that is enough." And I think those words are beautiful and they're really appropriate for somebody who is deeply committed to a life and practice of prayer. On a more practical note, sings more with us Unitarians, the Unitarian writer Kathleen McTeague wrote, "When gratitude is the only prayer in your heart, you are learning at last what it is to be really, fully alive. The practice of gratitude makes us feel alive. When we concentrate on the depressing news stories, and they are depressing, we can find that we are living with a sense of dread. We may not even be aware that we're feeling like this, but it is there. It just sort of draws us down. When worry invades our mind, we feel powerless, and we're carrying about with us a sense of negativity. Gratitude is the proven antidote for this negative mindset, and it is life-giving. There are studies show that gratitude improves our mental health. There was one study where there were a group of students attending a college, and these group became a group because they had all requested counselling because they were finding university difficult. Their mental health was being affected. One third of these students seeking counselling were requested that for a week before they started their counselling session to write down reasons to be grateful for the day they had just had. In the evening, sit down, think of things for which they were grateful, and write them down. A follow-up MRI scan several months after the counselling sessions ended showed that the students that had kept the gratitude journal, that there was more activity in that part of their brain associated with mental wellness. They had checked it during the counselling, they were all the same. But months later, the students who had written down reasons to be grateful were feeling better in themselves, and it showed up on an MRI scan. It wasn't just, you think it. And that was maintained for many months. People who are happy may not always be grateful. You might be happy because you've won the pools or you're going on holidays. But people who are grateful are always happy. Happy people may not be grateful, but grateful people are always happy. And cultivating gratitude is not an overnight fix. You can't just decide, I'm going to be grateful and I'll be happy in the morning. It is like tending a garden. And it takes time to grow flowers. You must plant the seeds, water them, and weed as necessary. Only then will the flowers come. And sometimes the flowers seem to take ages to germinate. You just have to persist with following the right course. To encourage gratitude, we follow this same pattern. We bring our gratitude into our consciousness as we nourish thoughts of gratitude, and we're careful to weed out unwholesome thoughts. Sometimes when we're feeling down, it's very easy to fall into that trap of seeing what's wrong rather than seeing the things that are right. And keeping a gratitude journal is a practical way to keep gratitude to the fore in our lives. If something is working really well, sometimes we just stop for no good reason. Good reason is to keep it up. As in the reading this morning, gratitude is a spiritual practice. And the beauty of this practice is that we don't have to believe in a God, to belong in a church, or anything else, to subscribe to a creed in order to follow that practice. We just need to express gratitude out loud to ourselves, to God, if God is part of your spiritual practices, or to the universe if you can't believe in what people call God. One of the things about people who are grateful and practice gratitude is that they think in plural terms. Sometimes people who are not mentally well are very focused inwards. Gratitude makes us focus outwards. People who practice gratitude think in terms of we much more than me. This means that people with a sense of gratitude are concerned with the welfare of others. The years of COVID have been terribly difficult. In lockdown, we learn to tread water just to stay afloat. And I think we expected that when the vaccine came, it would instantly initiate party time, that life would return to normal, but a bit better. Instead of party time, we have new challenges. We have challenges from the geopolitical world and a real threat to peace in Europe. And the isolation of COVID has brought us into bad spiritual habits. I think, you know, we just got into the habit of treading water and just going from day to day without great plans. When we have times of world weariness or soul sickness that I think many people have at the moment, there's a writer called William Bouch who suggested we ask ourselves four questions. And the first question he suggests we ask is, when did I stop singing? Now by this he doesn't only mean, when did you stop picking up a hairbrush or playing an air guitar pretending to be Elvis? That's part of it. But it has two layers. During those COVID years, we felt we needed to just get through this. We stayed at home, we isolated, and we did stop singing. There were no sung hymns in this church. We didn't have carols at Christmas time for the last 2 years. And it is time to sing again. A deeper level of this question is, when did you stop singing your own unique song? When did we stop singing? When we stop singing our song, the soul suffers. We get into the habit of doing things rather than being proactive in saying, what is asked of my life? The second question to ask yourself is similar. When did I stop dancing? Again, during COVID, we stayed home. We worked from home. We socialized via the computer screen. And we did actually do this, sometimes wearing pajama bottoms with a shirt or a blouse on top. And the COVID pounds, that's LBS, are still real. So we're a bit disconnected from our physical bodies and the idea of looking after ourselves, of exercising, moving about, dressing up, and dancing. Our bodies are more than a vehicle for carrying our brains around. It's time to reconnect with our body and time to dance. Question 3 from William Bouch. When did I stop being enchanted by stories? Our news are filled with facts and figures. Temperature in excess of 40, 150 refugees sleeping at Dublin Airport, tented city to sleep 350, 5% increase in carbon emissions. It was announced with great fanfare during the week, Thursday or Friday, that America was going to send 360,000 rounds of heavy shells to the Ukraine. And I actually found myself thinking, is that a lot or a little? How many a day would they use and how many days would they be lasting? I was just besotted by figures. All great spiritual teachers told stories. We are people of stories, not facts and figures. In older times in Ireland, in every community, they had their poet and their storyteller. Storytellers who would meet in people's houses and tell stories. It's time for us to rediscover imagination, not numbers. Question 4. When did I become uncomfortable with silence? Sit on any bus or train and notice how few people are not glued to their phone screen and wearing some sort of an ear listening piece. We are very uncomfortable with our own company. And when we're glued to a screen and listening to something else, we are not present in our lives. We are inhabiting a virtual screen world. That is not living. When we are uneasy with our lives, the body craves distraction and noise. But the soul needs presence and silence. So there are 4 questions from Mr. Bausch that we could ask ourselves. And I have a 5th question. When is the last time that I counted my blessings and said a heartfelt thank you? We know we live lives of privileges and we take them for granted. Gratitude means being grateful, and it's a sure way to the surest path to happiness. It is also a path that brings us to compassion for others and to working maybe to share our privileges in a more equitable way. It's time to wake up and count our blessings. Amen. There's no offertory this morning, but there is a donation box on the way out, and you can make a donation via our website. And thank you to people who support us. We're still in the process of regaining access to the Damer Hall, but we hope to be back soon having coffee, and there will be tea and coffee after the service in a few weeks, and I'm looking forward to that. I will be grateful for that when it happens. There's copies of Uscult magazine on the table outside. Please take one. At lunchtime on Wednesday, 1:05 to 1:35, in the church and via the webcam, there's a service of reflection. The book club meet on Wednesday evening, the 27th of July. They begin at 7 p.m. and it's via Zoom. Just again to put the word out about our refugee committee are still seeking a house for a refugee family. We will take one anywhere in Ireland. We are not choosy, but it does need to be in reasonably good repair. A 3 or 4-bedroomed house, and this will be really helpful to reunite the family that we are working with. Also to say that while we are waiting for this to happen, this man, his wife, they have one child, they're expecting another child. They're living in hiding, and we are trying to support them financially while they're still in Afghanistan because they are literally starving. And if anyone would like to donate, the Refugee Committee would be happy to receive that donation. On Sunday, the 21st of August, we are having our service in Kylemore Abbey in Galway. And details for that will be sent out. I think a lot of people are travelling down by car, but we will, if anyone goes by train, we will arrange transport from the station to the Abbey. As we're getting back to a more regular routine too, you know, and when we have our coffee rota running again, we are going to need more volunteers to make coffee, to do the washing up, to do readings, whatever it is. There's always work for people to make a contribution to the church. Our final hymn, hymn number 151. It's a lovely hymn. I wish I knew how it would feel to be free. Hymn number 151. May we be inspired with gratitude for the wondrous gifts that are ours and be filled with the resolve to share them with those who are in need. May we hold precious one another and the world which provides us with sustenance and beauty. And may a song of thanksgiving be on our lips to the Creator and Sustainer of life. Amen. Thank you.